KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's mostly clear and 34 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 58. Winds out of the northwest becoming southwesterly at around 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Jeff Moranz of Stifel Investments. Reminder, there is a frost advisory in effect until 8 a.m. for Cass, Adair, Adams, Audubon, Guthrie, Crawford, Carroll, Dallas, Madison, Union, Taylor, and Ringgold counties, and a frost advisory until 10 a.m. for Pottawatomie, Mills, Montgomery, Fremont, and Page counties. Temperatures in the low to mid-30s will result in frost formation that could kill sensitive outdoor vegetation. Also, a freeze warning is in effect for 10 a.m. for three counties, from Monona, Harrison, and Shelby counties in our listening area. In the news this morning, police in Red Oak report officers early today located a stolen vehicle in the 2400 block of North Broadway Street. Upon further investigation, police arrested 33-year-old Stacy Irene Kelly on charges that include theft in the second degree, a Class D felony, possession of drug paraphernalia, providing false information, and for being a fugitive from justice. Kelly was taken into custody at around 12:15 a.m. and transported to the Montgomery County Jail, where she was being held on a $5,000 bond. Authorities say that Red Oak police were assisted in their investigation and arrest by deputies with the Montgomery and Mills County Sheriff's Departments. Iowa officials are investigating possible abuse at a troubled state-run institution for people with intellectual disabilities. Kelly Garcia, director of the Iowa Department of Human Services, said in an interview Thursday that there is a visible marking on a resident at the Glenwood Resource Center, which has been rocked by scandals twice in the past 4 years, according to the Des Moines Register. She said the injury couldn't have been inflicted by another resident because everyone who lives in the person's house is immobile. Garcia said she asked the Iowa DCI to help determine what happened, saying that we're still very much sorting through the facts. The Glenwood Resource Center is home to about 190 adults with severe intellectual disabilities such as autism or seizure disorders. The residents live in ranch-style homes spread around a campus. Although no staff members have been suspended and no criminal charges have been filed, supervision has been increased, according to Garcia. She said her agency also reported the situation to a state entity that regulates healthcare facilities and the U.S. Department of Justice, which is already investigating the Glenwood Resource Center over allegations of poor medical care and unethical research into sexual arousal. The state's coronavirus dashboard today as of 7 a.m. indicates that since 10 a.m. Thursday, there have been 1,173 new positive test results for COVID-19 returned from the labs for a total to date since the start of the pandemic of 104,343. There are also 11 more deaths for a total of 1,516. One more death was reported to have occurred in Harrison County over nearly the past 24 hours for a total since the beginning of the pandemic of 7. The IDPH says 1,018 of the total deaths around the state have been attributed to a pre-existing condition. There are five more positive cases of the virus in Cass County for a total of 263. Also, in the KJAN listing area, there are 43 more cases in positive cases, in Pottawatomie County, 17 more in Harrison County, 7 additional positives in Adair County, 6 more in Shelby and Montgomery County, and 3 each in Guthrie, Mills, and Union counties, 2 more cases in Audubon County. Health officials say 468 Iowans are hospitalized with COVID-19. That's down from 482 on Thursday. 105 patients with COVID-19 are in an intensive care unit compared to 107 yesterday. 66 people were admitted to a hospital and 48 patients are on a ventilator. Western and Southwest Iowa hospitals say there are 30 people hospitalized with the virus. Also that there are 9 in an ICU, 5 were admitted to the hospital since 10 a.m. yesterday, and no one is on a ventilator. There are currently 60 long-term care facility outbreaks in Iowa, one less than yesterday, with 1,481 positive cases of COVID-19 among the patients and staff at those facilities. Long-term care facilities report 623 persons there have recovered, and there have been 761 deaths since the outbreak began. Well, 3 consecutive days of escalation, the number of COVID patients in Iowa hospitals has fallen slightly from Wednesday of this week on record levels. On Thursday evening, the state website, and this morning actually, says 468 patients were being treated for COVID. That's nearly twice as many as were hospitalized 2 months ago. Governor Kim Reynolds suspended all elective surgeries for several weeks at the beginning of the pandemic, but Reynolds says that's not necessary now.
Our hospitals have indicated that they're still doing okay, they're managing it.
However, Reynolds said the state is seeing a significant spread of the virus.
You know, before we were able to really tie that to maybe a nursing home outbreak or a manufacturing plant. And now what we're seeing is more community spread throughout the state, and we're seeing more of our hospitals in general seeing an uptick in numbers.
U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services was in Des Moines on Thursday, warning the rising number of COVID cases in Iowa is concerning. Secretary Alex Azar advised against casual household gatherings among relatives, neighbors, and friends.
Just because you're related to each other doesn't mean you can't transmit the disease to each other. Just because you're neighbors and friends doesn't mean you can't transmit the disease to each other.
The governor's current public health proclamation advises Iowans to ensure there's enough room for social distancing for gatherings of 10 or more people. Thousands gathered outside Wednesday night, though, for President Trump's campaign rally at a Des Moines airport. Reynolds said she believes the proper precautions were taken and those who attended had the First Amendment right to do so.
We continue to say social distance if you can't, wear a face mask. I had mine on. I was role modeling that that's what you're supposed to do. Many of the individuals that were there had the face mask on, but much as they've done throughout the summer with other peacefully gatherings at our churches, it is the rights of Iowans and Americans to do that.
In March, at the beginning of the pandemic, Reynolds issued a moratorium on large gatherings for religious services, but she lifted that at the end of April. Taking a look at the funeral announcements, Darlene Jones, age 91, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. An open visitation for Darlene Jones will be today from 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. at the Rican Dune Funeral Home in Griswold, with the family not present at any specific time. Louine Christensen, age 91, of Audubon, died Monday. Funeral services for Louine Christensen will be today at 11 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon is in charge of arrangements. Richard Roberts, age 74, of Oakland, died October 8th. Memorial services for Richard Roberts will be today at 11 o'clock at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Lois Matteson, age 87, of Omaha and formerly of Harlan, died Monday. Services for Lois Matteson will be today at 11 a.m. at the Corisco Larkin Staskowitz Funeral Home in Omaha. Diane Ernst, age 66, of Adair, died August 29th. Memorial services for Diane Ernst will be on Saturday, tomorrow, at 11 a.m. at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Anita Godwin, age 96, of Exira, died October 8th. Graveside services for Anita Godwin will be Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Exira Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home of Exira has arrangements. Larry Henkel, age 75, of Earlham, died October 10th. Public graveside services for Larry Henkel will be held tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Earlham Cemetery with full military graveside rites. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Edwin Chabon, age 87, formerly of Panama, died Wednesday. Mass of Christian burial for Edwin Chabon will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Harlan has arrangements. Lydia Anderson, age 101, formerly of Exira, died Monday in Blair, Nebraska. Graveside services for Lydia Anderson will be tomorrow at 3 o'clock at the Bethany Lutheran Cemetery northeast of Kimbleton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Gary Reed, age 83, of Stewart, died Monday. A celebration of life for Gary Reed will be held October 23rd at 10:30 a.m. at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. And Mark Clayson, age 20, of the Oakland Manor, died October 8th. A memorial visitation for Mark Clayson has been set from 4 until 6 p.m. on October 24th at the Reconvened Funeral Home in Oakland. That's a check of the news brought to you this hour by Jeff Morenz of Stifel Investments. Give him a call at 712-243-5500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.